Okay, so we are starting today on page 18, which is Simen Dalet Seif Ches. Simen Dalet Seif Ches. And the actual Seif starts the last word of the previous page. So page test, the last word on the way, last word on the page is Netilas. Okay, Netilas, next page, page 18. Netilas Yodayim in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Netilas Yodayim Shachris Ein Neutlin Al Gabe Karka El Latoich Kali. You're not supposed to pour your water of Netilas Yodayim. You're not supposed to go end up on the ground. It's supposed to end up in a some type of a container. Okay, so says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yudches, right, on the second line of Mishnah Berurah of this page, page 18. Karka. Vafilu Al Gabe Kisamim, even to do it onto a little piece of the wood, would be asa, mipnei sheruach ruah shira alehem, because there is ruach ruah, I haven't yet found a good translation, ruach ruah, evil spirit, but is resting upon this water, so it shouldn't go anywhere, such as even on pieces of wood. There's a couple of footnotes in the Dirshu, so in number 28, they compare it to Netilas Yodayim for Mayim Achroinim, we say it over there, you also shouldn't pour on the ground, you should do it into a kli because of Ruach Ruah. But if you don't have a kli, we say over there, in Mayim Achroinim, that you could pour it on a little piece of wood or something like that, because it's going to get absorbed and people aren't going to, not going to stay in one place. So seemingly the same thing would apply over here, but the area you don't have a kli to do it into, so you could do it onto a little piece of wood that gets absorbed and people won't end up stepping on it. What? He's there, he's speaking about Mayim Achroinim, and we're just saying it applies here as well. I'm suggesting it applies here as well, that's why they bring it. But we're not talking about Mayim Achroinim for the Suda right now. You'll have to wait till then, in a couple of years. And just in number 29, he's got a couple of interesting paragraphs I'd like to read inside if we can. 29, in the second paragraph of footnote 29, Kushinishpechu mein Netilas Yodayim al Haritzpah. What if you end up spilling the Netilas Yodayim water, right? Nigavasa water, you end up spilling on the ground. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orach says Shadai Bekach She Menagva. It's enough just to wipe it up. Ve'in Tzorch Lishpoich Aleihem Mayim Amanas Levatlam. You have to pour water into it to be mevatel it, meaning to kind of dilute it, as we find by Meir Ogayim we discussed. You don't need to pour water on it; just dry it, and that's fine. And then he writes in the next paragraph, and in order to read Psukim and to make brachas in front of Netilas Yodayim of the morning, shall he Tshuva bring some Birka Yosef? Then the minig of the Charedim LaDvar Hashem is not to learn in front of them. When you added, when you used a revius at the same time. In the following case, when you used a revius, meaning rather than less than a revius, which we discussed earlier, if you used a revius poured on your hand at the same time, then the all of CM writes, and you have to be makpid on this, you could even learn in front of the water. Chaznish would speak the Torah in front of the Netilas Yodayim water if he was in that situation. Not Dafka, obviously, but if he was in that situation, he would. So it sounds like again, we've seen a couple of opinions over here that the minig lecharin advar Hashem is to be careful from it, according to one opinion, but then we see the Chaznish was not particularly careful about it. Okay, now you'd that's about when it's in a kli and not when you spilled it. When you spilled, you have to clear it up. But okay, as if gotten your test in the Mishnah Berurah, kli v'toiv shi'aniach shnei kelim moshoi. So it's good to have two different vessels near your head, means for when you wake up, echan malei vechad reikam, one full, one empty, so that you can pour, obviously, on your hands from the full to the empty. What about washing your hands over, this is footnote number 30, is also very relevant, what happens about washing your hands over a sink, and there's utensils in the sink, there's kelim, right, there's plates and whatever in the sink. Do you have to worry about that? It's mutar lechatchila to do that, since afterwards, anyway, you're going to be washing those kelim. Rav Chaim Kanevsky writes that when you do wash those kelim, you have to start washing the kelim three times. You can just rinse them once, whatever, as usual. But it's okay to pour to negavasa over kelim in the sink. That is not a problem according to these poskim. Okay, sif tes. Mayim, the top of the Shulchan Aruch, right? Mayim shalom Netilas Yodayim, shachris osalei nois mehem. You're not supposed to get any benefit from the water of Netilas Yodayim when after you poured it. V'lo yishpechem b'bayis, don't spill them out in the house. V'lo b'mokim she'ovrim sham b'nei adam, or in places where people are going to walk. So he writes in the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Koton Chof, right? In the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Tes, Sif Koton Chof, mehem, not to benefit from them. Al kein lo yitneim lefnei behemtoi, don't give it to your animals to drink. It's not a question of getting hanor. It's not isa hanor if it's got ruach ruah on it. You have to be careful. As he's going to say in the next one, Sif Koton Chof Aleph, b'nei adam, people shouldn't walk over them. Ki yuchlu lehi nazik al adeha ruach ruah, because they can become damaged from the evil spirit. V'yishpachem b'mokim medroin oy ba'ofa tichorach, and therefore you should spill them out in a place which is a slope and it's going to go down to some far away, whatever, or in crumbly earth that's going to get absorbed. Okay. According to he brings from Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld in footnote number 33 that once you did get the water over there, you spilt it and end up at this place, then the Ruach Hua can't really do any damage anymore because you already poured it away. It's only initially when it comes out it can do damage. Once you pour it to a different place, then you're okay. Sif Yud. Noitel kli shalmayim biyad yiminoi v'noisin liyad smoloi kadesh yorik mayim al yimina tchela. You pick up the cup with your right hand and then you hand it to your left hand, and now you pour water on your right hand first. Everyone probably knows that. Okay, Mishneh Berurah in Chof Beis, back and forth today, ups and downs. Okay, so Chof Beis, we've called Chof Beis. V'noisnoi, give it to your left hand, that you can pour on the right, right? Kadei shiyis gabe yamin shu chesed al smol shu din, that the right side, which it represents chesed, will overpower the left side, which represents din. Okay, and he adds, v'gam be'iter azlinen bosa yamin da'alma, and even for a left-handed person, he also follows what everyone else does as well. He hasn't got his own din, like we found in other cases, but when it comes to Nteres Yadayim, he also washes his right hand first. Sif Yud in the Shulchan Aruch. Loi yitol mimi sheloi notal yadav shachris. The person should not receive the water, have the water poured on him from someone who himself has not washed Nteres Yadayim. Mishneh Berurah Chof Gimel. Lo yitol, what's the leima? Lishpoich lo al yadav, to actually pour the water on him. Aval avi lo imayim mutav, just to hand him the cup, that's no problem. The problem is to actually pour the water from some, when the if your servant is pouring you and your servant hasn't washed it in 30 times, don't allow him to do that. What?
Why do we need to say this? You just said you can't benefit from this water anyway.
So why you benefit? That's after you've poured it. Now we're talking about before the person has poured. Yeah, that's talking about the water that got spilt after in 30 times, poured on your hands, end up on the ground, whatever, don't benefit from it. But here we're talking about beforehand. How do you wash Negerasa? So he says, don't have the water poured on you from someone who himself has not washed Netilas Yadayim. Chof Dalad in the Mishneh Berurah. V'mi sheloi v'chulei. V'netila la'achila v'ashai l'tom mi sheloi nata yada. But when it comes to eating, washing your hands for a suda, you could have the water poured on you from someone who himself has not washed his hands. There's enough kaminez in Hilchos Tumantara, I think, but here there's no problem. Yud Beis. In the Shulchan Aruch, im shichech yadav l'seich kli shamayim. What if you just shook your hands around inside a bucket of water? Also loy netila l'krishma or l'tfila. That does help for you to be able to say krishma and daven. Aval loy l'ruach ra shalem. It's not going to remove the ruach ra. As we said, you have to wash three times on each hand to remove the ruach ra. Just moving your hands in water wouldn't help. Im shichech yadav begimul meimoyis mechulafim. But if you put your hands and you shook your hands around inside three different waters, right, meimoyis mechulafim, like it was new water each time, then yesh listapek im asalei lahavi ruachua shaleim, then there's a doubt as to whether it works. So you really have to pour it on your hands rather than dipping it in different places. Look at the Mishneh Berurah now, Yud Beis, Sifkon Chofei. Likrashma ulatvila. Putting a hand in water would help you for krishma and tvila. You could even make the bracha on Nteres Yadayim. Why? Daminan b'kiyo, because this is about the kiyo, the wash basin of the base of mikdash. Ruachatzu mimenu, and they're washed from it. V'loy b'seichoy, right? Hal ba'alma afila b'seichoy means in the base of mikdash you have to be makbid not to put your hands in it. But for other situations, you're allowed to put your hands in it. Meaning for tvila, you could put your hands in the water. Avel ha'avia ruach ro. However, when you want to get this other concept, which is to remove the ruach ra, boy, eru gimel pa'amim dafka, you dafka have three times pouring on your hands. V'shichshuch b'kli, afilu mea pa'amim leichosh v'ela echa. But even when you put your hands in water, even if you do it 100 times, it's not considered more than one washing. It's like you wash your hands once. You just have to pour it twice again on each hand. Shemiyad nitma amayim b'havim k'mo shofchem, because once you put your hands in, it's metame the water, and it's considered like spilt water that doesn't have any benefit for, doesn't help you. V'mashim hachi. And therefore, as a result of this, nistapik achakach be'meimus mecholafim. That's why the Shulchan Aruch said there's a doubt about using three different waters to put your hands in. Because it could be it's not about the pouring that removes the ruach ra, but rather just washing off. Or it could be that you actually need to pour it in. So the doubt of the Shulchan Aruch is when you put in three different waters, is putting your hands in water going to help? Either you could say, yeah, it's good enough because you're at least putting it in three different waters, or you say, no, you actually have to pour the water on your hands for it to be effective to remove the ruach ra. That's the doubt of the Shulchan Aruch. But Kosav Pima Godim, with the end of the first wide line of the Mishneh Berurah, Kosav Pima Godim, the Lefizeh, based on this, if you put your hand into a river three times, or snow, which is settled on the ground, in three different places in the snow, that would only help you to be able to daven. You could even make the bracha. But it was doubtful, as we said in the Shulchan Aruch, it's doubtful whether it will remove the ruach ra. It would clip mikli, as we said, you might have to actually pour it.
According
to these achronim, the Altos Chaim, Levushei Srad, that it is enough to put your hands into a river, or to put your hands into snow, or to put your hands into a mikveh, three different places, in order to remove the ruach ra. That does work, but the evet, okay? But I feel it aim by him, Abayim Sa, even if that water is not Abayim Sa, not a full mikveh or whatever, it's still. So those achronim, it sounds like he's coming out la halacha at the end. Usually the general rule is Mishnah Berurah, the last opinion he brings is how he's generally paskening. That's a general rule, we'll call it. So the fact that there was a suffix in the Shulchan Aruch, again, putting your hand in three different places, in water or in snow or in a mikveh, that was a suffix in the Shulchan Aruch, but he's bringing these achronim who all seem to say that it does work, so it sounds like you could rely on that.
How come you're allowed to make a bracha when we said before that you can only make a bracha when you have both the Ruach Tumah and the Tefillah given together?
Who said only? We didn't say that. Ruach Ra was an extra inyan we added after. We had the initial inyan of the Rosh and the Rashba about the Rashba said you're a new creation in the morning, the Rosh says your hands might be dirty. That was the basic inyan that required a bracha. Ruach Ra is an additional thing. It, in and of itself, it's not something that requires a bracha. You couldn't make a bracha just on the Ruach Ra. So the bracha is really for those two things, the Rosh and the Rashba. That means it's not related to Ruach Ra. Okay, Sif Kotan Chofav, to finish off the Sif. Chofav, Aval Loi, right, we said in the end of the Shulchan Aruch, well, actually in the middle, it doesn't remove the Ruach Ra She'aleihem, right? When you just rubbed your hands in water once, it doesn't remove the Ruach Ra. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Chofav, Alkein, Yire, Litol, Pam, Sheinis, Min Kli, Afila, Achat, Tfilah. So therefore, even if you relied on it to be able to daven, and to put your hands in water, because at least you can daven, and you didn't have enough water, whatever, didn't have a Kli to be able to remove the Ruach Ra, then later on, whenever you can, even after Tfilah, you should be careful to wash your hands with the Kli three times to remove the Ruach Ra. Again, this is a temporary solution to be able to daven, but the Ruach Ra is still there, and you should not leave your hands with the Ruach Ra on them, and wash your hands afterwards whenever you can. Okay, Yud Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch. Third last line of the page, right? Im haya ne'or kalalaila. What about a person that was awake all night? Yesh listapek im sach lito yadav shachris lispalel lahavir ruach ra miyadav. It's doubtful whether he would need to wash his hands in the morning to be at the daven and to remove ruach ra. And he adds the Ramah, v'yit leim b'lei bracha, and here the solution is, says the Ramah, you should wash them but without a bracha. You should wash them because of doubt, but you can't make a bracha because of the doubt. Safik brachas lahakel. So again, if a person was awake all night, it's doubtful whether he needs it, and then we've discussed all these reasons now, right? With Rosh, the Rashba, etc., we discussed it a few times, he's going to go through this again, what the doubt is, and again, the Ramah says at least wash your hands without a bracha. So look at the Mishnah at the bottom, Chav Zayin, Kol HaLaila. If he's awake all night, so what if he slept part of the night? All agree that he'd be required to wash his hands as regular. That's if he slept a shnas keva, a full sleeping. I don't call it shnas keva. How do you translate shnas keva? A proper sleep. What? A full sleep on his bed. That's considered sleeping part of the night. For the reason we mentioned, according to the Rosh, that people's hands move around, that they get dirty, but if a person just had a doze somewhere, just had a little nap, according to the Rosh, that would not require Netiyas Yadayim at all. Because we don't have to worry about him moving his hands and touching dirty places if he's just kind of like dozing off somewhere. So that was focusing on the Rosh's reasoning. So he said that he said in the Shulchan Aruch that it's a doubt whether he needs to wash his hands in the morning to daven and to remove ruach ra, right? Chof ches in the Mishnah Berurah. Like it's part of lahavir. The hainu letfila yesh safik im tam nishonotis v'daim shachris karashba. That as it legabe tefillah that we've discussed in the past, right? When it comes to tefillah, is the reasoning for nishonotis v'daim like the rashba that we had earlier? But Mishnah Berurah sifkon aleph, meaning he's a new creation. Even though here he didn't become a new creation because he was awake all night. It wasn't sleeping and then the Shama coming back because he didn't go to sleep. Nevertheless, it's a takana of Chazal, and it would need a tili, even though the reasoning doesn't apply, according to the Rashba, loy plug. It applies across the board. So even though technically you could say he's not a Beri Chadash, he's not a new creation because he didn't sleep, Afar Pike in the Rashba says that you would require an Atres Yudayim. Or is the main reasoning for Atres Yudayim, like the Rosh said, meaning touching dirty places. Uvener, and if he was awake for Loinoga b'makamatunas, and he didn't, he was awake, so he didn't touch anything dirty, ein zarach latila, he wouldn't need to wash his hands. So it's a machlekes Rashba and the Rosh, what to do about a person that was awake all night. According to the Rashba, he should have to wash. According to the Rosh, he doesn't need to wash. That's the doubt. That's the doubt that the Shulchan Aruch was discussing. Ulahavi haruach ra, yesh gam kein safik, and as for removing ruach ra, there's also a doubt. What? In ba'alma hashena goyim ruach ra, is it that usually it's the sleep that causes the ruach ra? That would therefore apply even to the daytime. If a person, if the sleeping that causes the ruach ra, that means even in the daytime, if he sleeps, he would need to wash his hands. But if you'd be awake or not, he wouldn't need to. It's all about sleeping. If you don't sleep, whenever you sleep, you need to wash your hands, according to the Rosh. Reasoning, right? So it's all about sleeping. That's one side of the doubt. The doubt is maybe it's all about sleeping. If it's all about sleeping, if you're up all night, you don't need to wash. And if you slept in the day, you'd need to wash. It's not about sleeping, it's about the night time. The period of the night time is what causes the ruach ra. Therefore things would switch the other way around. The night does it, so if you're awake at night, you'd have to wash. And if you sleep in the day, you wouldn't need to wash. So there's one big suffix over here. What causes ruach ra? Right? We had a doubt about the reason for the Yudayim. That was the Rashba and the Rosh. Is it about being a new creation or is it about dirty hands? Now we've got a totally separate suffix about ruach ra. What causes ruach ra on a person's hands? Is it the night time? That was the second side. Is it the night time or is it the fact that the person went to sleep? Proper sleep. And this one big suffix causes one big suffix in the Neteis Yudayim, and therefore the Ramah's conclusion was wash without a bracha. So that's in Sifkot and Chof Tes. Right, this is going on the Ramah now. V'yitleim, we said v'yitleim b'lei bracha, right? V'yitleim, says the Mishnah Berurah, v'atzeloima, he has to wash shalosh pa'amim mechmasafik, because this doubt, he has to wash his hands three times. V'chein b'shnei sifim sha'achar, then also the next two sifim as well, it's washing hands three times as well, as we'll get to. And he says b'lei bracha, that he shouldn't make a bracha when he was up all night, although he should wash, according to the Ramah. Some achronim disagree with this conclusion of the Ramah, but there, v'soivim d'sarach levarach, they hold you do need to make a bracha, even if you're awake all night. V'yesh shemaskimim, but some achronim do agree with the Ramah that you should wash without a bracha. However, you should be aware that this is all talking about if a person did not go to the bathroom after he was awake all night, and now he wants to daven. If he actually went to the bathroom before davening, now things have changed. The achronim seem to agree in this case. Again, when he didn't go to the bathroom, it's a suffix about washing his hands. But if he went to the bathroom and now he wants to daven, for sure, according to the achronim, he needs to not just wash his hands, but make a bracha as well. That becomes already chayv in the bracha. And this is therefore the correct approach when a person, the people who are awake all night, like a person who's up all night on Shavuos, what should he do? He should go to the bathroom, or yotel nayim, or he urinate, right, the yishaf chafe, and then rub his hands, making sure his hands are dirty from urinating. He touch a dirty place, or touch the, you know, clear up the urine, whatever. And then according to all opinions, he would have to make a bracha before he davens. And then he can make these two brachas, having come out of the bathroom before he davens. He was up all night, he's been to the bathroom now, he can make two brachas, Anantith Yadayim and Asher Yotzer. Just to jump to number 40 on the next page, footnote number 40, before we finish with that, maybe we'll do a dialogue if we have a minute. Number 40 on page, opposite page Yud. He brings, I'm going to read it inside, two lines of it, actually, just two lines. Chayin Kosov Eitzazula Alon, he writes this later on, Lemishan Notar Yodav Kredim Alas Hashachar, a person who got up early, is still in the night time, might be more common in the winter, people want to end up getting up before Alas Hashachar, that this is the same Eitzah, he's got a Shaila now, because maybe it was the night that caused it. Again, the whole doubt that we're into would apply to a case when he he got up before Alei Shachar, that he should have this, he should go to the bathroom before he davened them, and then he can make these two brachas. V'chein le'inim misha notol yadav le'i kavona, shalo le'i kavona, person who washed his hands without kavona to be in the Tzitzit Daim. What happens then? That's the next part. We'll skip that part. Last thing I just want to finish off is with this Bi'alochan on the page 18. Kol ha'layla, person was awake all night, if this is a few lines. I am a Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Chofzayim, we did that. Okay, yeah, Kol ha'layla Bi'alochan, second Bi'alochan on the page 18, page 18. V'im haya yoshim b'terus ha'layla, if a person slept at the beginning of the night, become, and he got up, v'noto yadav, k'dei la'avir rochua, and he washed his hands to remove the rochua, nearly, when it comes to the morning, he didn't go back to sleep. He came back to the morning, he would have to wash his hands again for Tula and Bracha, and to make Brachas. You can't say that when he got up, you know, 2 hours into the night, and he's up now for the rest of the night, he became a new creation, you know, 12 o'clock at night. He went to sleep 10 o'clock at night, and it's now 6 hours till the morning, and he's got 12 o'clock at night, he does not yet become a Berech Hadasha, according to the Rashba, and it's the morning that does it, as the Pasuk says. Just to fulfill the opinion of the Rosh, who says you wouldn't need a new bracha in the a new washing in the morning because you didn't get your hands dirty. Right? Gamba there, yaseh soch of kodim atzula. Therefore, the solution again in this case would be to go to the bathroom before you daven. Yitzchayv l'tol l'vach l'amah. Then all would agree. The Rashba says, well, your new creation in the morning. The Rosh says you had dirty hands and now they're clean. So you want to make them clean for davening, and therefore you could definitely wash your hands and make a bracha.